Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And you're listening to the music of Houston local Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my
things. Yeah, so this is Big Ideas Small Business. This is a concept that Laura and I came up with to help small business owners, entrepreneurs, salespeople, marketers have some ideas about how they can grow their business and win in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And so each week we're going to be here at Rice University, 3:30 live, and then we'll go ahead and post this up to Apple Music, SoundCloud, you know, have a lot of access to this. Mm-hmm. And occasionally we're bringing guests. Yeah. We'd love for this to be interactive, so we're going to be talking about articles, mm-hmm. books, you know, anything out there that you might want us to talk about, please send us your feedback, and we'd love to put it on the show.
Yeah. If you'd like to post in our group, just let us know your thoughts, and if you have any questions about your business, and if you have any suggestions for things you'd like to learn more about in regards to your small business marketing and sales and growing your business. So Brian, tell us a little about yourself and your business.
Sure. So my name is Brian Gendron. I own a IT services firm. We work with Houston owner-operated businesses, helping support their IT infrastructure, mm-hmm. help desk, those types of things. The company's called KnockServe, and it's www.knockserve.com. We started last year, and things are going well. You know, awesome. And certainly sales and marketing when you're mm-hmm. launching a company is a huge part. In fact, maybe almost the biggest part of my efforts. And so through that process and through, you know, an 11-year career in sales and marketing, I think I can bring a lot to the discussion, mm-hmm. and happy to be here with you, Laura. So
awesome.
How about you tell me about your business and who you are, where you come from?
Yeah, thanks for the intro about your business. Sure. I'm Laura Camrath, president of Zebra Marketing Solutions. And I help small business owners, coaches, consultants, and entrepreneurs to get more leads so that they can get more customers through customized digital online marketing strategies so that they can make more money in their business and build the life of their dreams or the life they've always wanted and generally grow in their business success. So I help people with websites, social media. I help build lead capture systems where, I hear all the time from small business owners that, you know, they did online ads and it just didn't work. Well, they probably didn't have a lead capture system that was set up to be able to capture those leads that were generated from the ads and then nurture them into becoming customers. And we're going to talk about that here today a little bit. Our topic for today is how to get that first date with your customers and build that relationship all the way through to marriage. So I know what you're thinking, what? I'm not going to divorce my wife or husband and, you know, literally marry my customer. No, but you want to marry them in a business sense, right? So you want to build that relationship because, you know, I mean, so Brian, do you remember, like, did you ever have a first date?
I do. I remember I'm getting butterflies, maybe the same butterflies now that I had then. And it's true. You know, I'm married now and it's been, gosh, 12 years since I've even dated. Uh-huh. But it really is, right? If you look at a relationship, and it's a great analogy between I was in the dating game and mm-hmm. I acted a certain way, mm-hmm. and now I'm married and I act a very different way. And so I like it's very very tightly aligned to sales and to customers. So I agree with that analogy.
Yeah. So I mean, if you think about it, you know, what do you do when you want to go on a date? You know, like you want to meet people, you want to be out there, you want people to know that you're single, you want to be able to, go to the bar. Well, maybe that's like, in your business, you're going networking. You know, you're going out places where you're going to see people that might be the right people to do business with. So, you know, you're going to go places when you're dating someone that might be the right place to meet someone you might be interested in. You know, you want to be able to, you know, when you meet someone, what do? Like, when you went on a first date, I'm guessing the first thing that you did wasn't like, oh, hey, you know, I really like you. Can I get your number? And do you maybe want to get married one day? Like, no.
I think my wife did that. You know, I was thinking while you were talking, I was thinking while you were talking too, obviously the dating game has changed, and this is all past, you know, this didn't exist when I was around, right? But technology, just like it has in lead capture and a lot of stuff that Laura does, is now integrated. So if you guys are familiar with, you know, swipe right, swipe left, whether it's Tinder or Bumble. Yeah. So again, very, very similar to what we're experiencing in business is the same thing that's going on in dating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, I mean, like when I was, I guess, in high school, there was no Tinder, there was no Bumble, there was no, you know, none of that. You know, maybe we were just starting to get, I guess we got Facebook when I was in college. Now I'm dating myself. But,
me too.
You know, before that, you know, the only way to meet people was like, you know, sending them a letter or sending them an email or going out. Now there's like a lot more options. There's social media now. There's online marketing. There's online advertising.
Now this is a PSA, and we're at Rice University here. Yeah. So for the college students, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, those old tactics that Laura's talking about, writing a letter or actually getting out and going to places where you might meet a significant other, you know, those tactics still exist, right? And, that actually might yield more quality partners, maybe somebody you'd marry. Mm-hmm. Whereas the technology, you know, somebody that found you on technology could just as easily find somebody else. So, you know, keep that in mind as you're doing your prospecting. You know, old school techniques can go a long way, and I'll share some of those over time, some of the ones that I use.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, technology doesn't necessarily replace traditional methods.
Right.
But I would also say that for the price, using technology, like using online ads and the cost to benefit is greater now using technology than not. It's very expensive these days to do direct mail. Not that direct mail doesn't work. It can be very effective.
Absolutely.
But it is going to be significantly more expensive than, say, doing Facebook ads. So, you know, in your business, like, you just have to take that into account and see, you know, well, what's going to be right for my market? What's going to be right for my budget?
Yeah, and you know, the other thing to think about there is qualify, right? Yeah. So now that you're utilizing technology, sure, you're going to have a lot of inbound leads, and Laura does a terrific job in doing that, but are they the right leads for your business? Are they actually going to cost you more money than they're going to make because they're not the right fit, right?
Well, and that's a great point too, Brian. You know, I mean, when you're dating somebody, like, okay, maybe you're like, okay, like, you want to know who you are as a person, right, when you're dating someone, so that, you know, you might have to go on a whole lot of dates. If you don't really understand yourself or what you want,
right,
you're going to have to go on a lot of dates before you figure that out.
That's correct.
So, you know, in the same in business, you know, if you don't really know who's going to want your product, you don't really know what you offer, you don't really know, like, what your message should be because you didn't really narrow down your target market to know what is it that they really want. Why are you selling to them? Why would they want your solution? You know, what are you offering to them, and what problems is it going to solve for them?
Right. Yeah. I mean, going back to the analogy, right? I mean, if you're, I say this a lot to younger people. I'm like, you know, 30 is the age, and it's not set in stone, but that's an age where you've kind of defined who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Of course, some people are a little earlier, and I know a lot of people who are 40 and still haven't figured it out, right? You know, so there's exceptions, but ultimately the idea is right in line with what Laura's saying, and the same thing with maturity as a company, right? You know, when you're first starting a company, you're kind of still figuring it out, kind of fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And there you're like eager to date anybody, you know, but you know, over time, you really need to focus on qualifying and identifying who you are, who you want to be matched with, because that leads us into marrying a client, which is the second half. I don't know if we're quite ready to get into marriage. We still
I don't know. It's a little early, Brian.
A little bit forward.
I mean, gosh.
I want to have two kids and a dog. But
that's a good point, though. Like, you would never go on a first date and when you sit down with that person, say, oh, you know, hey, I was just wondering. I mean, maybe your wife did. I don't know. But, like, you know, you would never usually go on a first date and be like, so, you know, it's really nice to get to know you. When do you want to get married? And how many kids do you want to have?
Right.
Like, for most people on a first date, they would probably run. You know, they'd be like, oh my God, this person's crazy. You know, like, I don't even know if I like them, and they already want to get married. Sure. Well, I mean, the same with your customer. Like, you can't just go into the relationship like, oh, hey, I know that we just met, but hey, do you want to buy my, like, top-of-the-line package? Like, for the most part, the customer is just going to be like, I don't even know you. I don't know what you do. I don't know if you're trustworthy. I don't know if, you know, you're going to really do what you said you're going to do.
Right.
So, like, you need to give that customer a level of trust. You need to build the relationship so that, you know, they get to know you, that they understand, you know, and there's a lot of different ways of doing that.
Yeah, and you said something that's important. I mean, first, you know, they have to be attracted to you, okay? So they have to like you in some way. And then second, they have to trust you, right? Mm-hmm. And only once you've achieved those things. And then the other thing to think about, I remember when I had some, like, let's go back to girlfriends in high school, and I could barely afford jewelry, which was great because anytime you were dating a girl, you're like, all right, I'm going to start with this $35 silver, and then you kind of grow it from there. And by the time, you know, in high school, by the time you're up to like $150 gold, it's time to break up. And so you do the same thing, like with my wife when we were dating and it was serious, you know, you'd start with like a quarter carat diamond, and then that might be a little bit too aggressive. I think it was like, it was like shards of diamonds, that, you know what I mean? And then you kind of scale up. And it's kind of the same thing with customers. Somebody told me once, you know, if you're over gifting your customer or your prospects, excuse me, in the beginning, what does that make you? It makes you a gold digger. And how does that work out, right?
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a pretty valuable lesson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, you know, save the and of course you're courting these people and you're gaining that trust and over time, and you're doing the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
Position yourself properly, but don't overdo it either.
Yeah.
You know, don't buy that diamond ring on the second week of dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that being said, that doesn't include what I would call wowing your customer.
That's correct.
So, you know, you always want to over deliver. You want them to feel like, you know, they got so much more than they thought they were going to get, you know. I didn't know. I mean, have you ever like ordered something online and it comes in, you know, a box and you open it up and there's like a little handwritten note and it says, you know, thanks so much for ordering my book or whatever it is, and maybe sends a piece of candy or something, you know, that's small, but it's like, oh, well, that was nice. I wasn't expecting that. So like, think about things in your business, like what is it that you could do to over deliver? Maybe they bought, you know, X product and you offered X and a little bit of Y, and you know they didn't know they were gonna get Y, and now they're like, oh wow, you know, that was really nice, like, you know, I love doing business with this person. Like, what is it, you know, like Brian was saying, you know, when you were dating someone, like you would get them a little necklace or something, you know, and probably when that girl received the necklace, she was probably like, oh wow, he really cares about me.
Right.
You know, like when your customer gets that little extra thing, they say, oh, well, like they really cared. Like they really care about this.
Yeah. So. And you know, we left out another important thing. You know, these people are going to go out, these partners or customers or people you're about to date, they're going to ask their friends about you, right? There's a whole reputation side to this, and it kind of gets into reputation management of your company, right? Because now, you know, I know we mentioned that really social media and these dating apps haven't been around for very long, and not in my dating career, but your information is out there on the internet for everybody to see, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something to be considerate of, you know, how are people reviewing you? Because they're going to go look. How are people that you know, common people that you know, do they speak highly of you, right? And then negative reviews, that's a reality of being in business. And then how do you professionally address those, right?
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, like, you're going to get negative reviews. I would say, like, one thing you want to do is you want to ask your customers for reviews, especially the customers you know are really satisfied. So if you just delivered your service or product to a customer, you know they were really happy with it, you want to ask them for a review. And, you know, there are actually, you know, systems where you can automate that, where it's going to ask them for a review.
Right.
So you don't have to think about it. But you do want to think about it. And I know a lot of small business owners, really, they don't ask.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the closest. We call it in marketing closest to the cash. That's your closest opportunity to making more money, is asking someone that you already have a relationship with, either for a referral or for more business? You know, is there anything else I can help you with? I mean, the most famous ones of those is, you know, do you want fries with that at McDonald's?
Right.
You know, I mean, think about over time, worldwide, how much asking that question has made McDonald's.
That's true. Well, and look, if you're not asking for those reviews, they're, you know, the likelihood of somebody to leave a bad review is way higher than them to go out of their way and leave a good review.
And the other thing is that if somebody does give you a bad review, you can bury it with good reviews.
That's what I was just, kind of what I was saying. Break up with them on good terms. Because then if you don't, you might ruin your future dating relationship. Same thing.
And always respond in a positive manner, even when get negative feedback. So if somebody gives you a negative review, you know, you wanna quickly address that before it becomes an issue. You know, I'm so sorry you weren't satisfied. I'm so sorry you hadn't had a problem. Mm-hmm. What can we do to make it right? You don't wanna just ignore it or try and brush it under the rug or try and delete it. If you delete it, that can actually make things worse because now people think that, you know, you're trying to hide something.
That's right. And we call that reputation management.
Yeah.
So let's move into, all right, we've courted this customer.
Mm-hmm.
We found out that we're into each other, you know, you've proposed to them and they've accepted your proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're a customer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how do things change when you go from that into that customer stage and with the relationship?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, you know, first you want to wow the customer, you want to over deliver, go above and beyond, make sure they know that you care, that you love them, show them the love. But you also want to, you know, you want to continue to make sure they know that you care. 65% of customers say that they left a company not because they were dissatisfied, not because they didn't get what they wanted, but because they were indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, they didn't really care, you know, and that's really a shame. That's 65% of customers, you know, saying that, you know, they left because of indifference.
Right.
So what can you do?
That's 65% where you can make a difference.
Right.
That's in your,
exactly.
The ball's in your court. Now the other 35% is maybe because you screwed up or something.
Right.
And those things, you know, sometimes they're out of your control.
Yeah.
But this is 65% that you can control. So,
I mean,
so what do you do? How do you not be indifferent?
Yeah, so like what are the ways that you can continue to show the love?
Right.
Continue to build that relationship even after the purchase is made. Don't just be like, oh, you know, you bought my thing. Okay, that's awesome. I'll see you later.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, what if you got married? You know, what if you married your wife and you're like, okay, awesome. I won the game. I'm married. Like, I got her. Okay, I'll see you later. I'm going to go play golf. Like...
I know that I've seen that scenario, you know, the trophy wife scenario. But no, look, I mean that's true. I can certainly I've got now 4 years of marriage experience too. And it's hard, right? It's hard to figure out new ways to kind of go back to that spark that you had when you were dating, you know, it's really difficult for you to do that with your clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you need to get creative. You know, we were talking about it off the air, and it was make sure, you know, kind of have your baselines covered. You know, their family members' names, certainly, you know, their birthdays, you know, don't miss holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Find out things that are important to them.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and that goes the longest way. I used to work with a young lady, and she used to do, she's so funny, her father-in-law was a farmer, and they have chickens, and she would come back with dozens and dozens of fresh farm eggs, and that would be what she would give to her existing clients, you know, she saw
that. That's really cool.
It's such a different
thing. Yeah, like what can you do that's different?
And it's, you know, can either be, you know, something that they care about or something that really kind of makes, you know, something you care about or sort of makes you a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes kind of both ways, but you got to be doing it.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any examples of how, I guess, you kind of nurture or keep that spark alive with some of your clients?
Yeah, I mean, especially... with marketing automation and digital marketing, I mean everybody knows about social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can you share? Figure out first what social media channels would be best for your business, and then put useful content on there. If you're posting to social media, you should keep it, I call it the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, you should be talking about things that would bring value to your customers. And only 20% of the time, talking about yourself or making offers or, you know, promotions, whatever it might be. But the thing is, you know, I mean, say like you went on a date with somebody. Has anyone here ever been on a bad date? And like you go, it's a first date, you sit there with a person and all they do is talk about themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're probably never going to go on a date with them again.
That's right.
So, but unfortunately, a lot of small business owners, because, you know, we're all busy and we don't have a lot of time. And so we don't post anything until it's like, oh, I'm offering a sale. I'm offering a promotion. Oh, here, this is some information about my business. Mm-hmm. But like people aren't going to necessarily care about your business unless they feel like you're adding value to them. So,
totally.
You know, just thinking about how can I bring more value to my prospects and customers.
Yeah, I heard a lot in there. You know, certainly the 2 years, one mouth is universally true, whether you're dating or you're married.
Yeah.
One thing that I always like to do with my clients and certainly let my prospects know that once they're a client of mine, then it is in my best interest that they grow. And
yeah.
then they would need more of my services. And that's true for most businesses, and especially in the service industry,
yeah.
or even in products, right? They're
mm-hmm.
going to need more of your products.
Yeah.
So if you can make connections for them, that's going to help their business grow.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that powerful? You know,
uh-huh.
That's one way to stay in touch with your active clients and hit on
yeah.
things that will interest them.
Yeah.
Hey, I met this person. You know, maybe it's somebody who's working in construction remodeling, mm-hmm. and you're like, hey, I met this somebody who works in commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could really help you out. That's really, really valuable way
mm-hmm.
to keep in touch with your clients
yeah.
outside of the box.
Yeah, and from the digital marketing side, I would say, you know, social media, doing an e-newsletter, maybe a weekly e-newsletter. Maybe you can take your blog and post it to your newsletter so that, you know, people don't have to go to your website to see it, and then put things of value, you know, things that would be of value to your customers in your newsletter.
One other, and so that, you know, again, with your newsletter, same thing you were talking about earlier, using the 80-20 rule,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so whenever you're
exactly.
proud in that, like, here's some things, some ideas that can help
yeah.
you with your business or with your life, and I
yeah.
do that with my newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, here's some promotions or
right.
events that we're having at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's that same approach.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to overload your customers with talking about yourself, because it'll make them just tune out. And you want them listening to you. So.
And you talked about social media a few times.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I guess I'm too chicken shit to do, but you know, have your clients on your social media, on your presence. You know, allow them to leverage each other's networks to grow.
Right. Yeah.
And so for me, it might be like, hey, you know, you're in mortgage lending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's talk about mortgage lending in technology. So
yeah.
then you're kind of hitting on both of our industries. You're hitting both of our networks
right. yeah.
and getting exposure for
yeah.
each other. So that's another idea.
Yeah. And I would say, like, a nice thing to do, like, if you're a consultant or a coach or even, you know, IT consultant, anything like that, creating a Facebook group where you can add your customers and add your, you know, people who are interested in your business, you know, friends, colleagues, clients, and let those people interact. Because, you know, those are the people that are your fans. And you want to encourage your fans to become basically your evangelists.
That's right.
You want those people to shout from the tops of the mountains how awesome you are. And so you do that by building your reputation, letting those people build a community.
That's right.
So that you can create basically a movement. You want, you know, a
That's
movement
perfect.
Of people behind you mm-hmm. who are ready to tell all their friends how great you are, basically.
That's 100% right. And Laura was at my launch party back in January for KnockServe, and that was exactly the intent, right? You know, gather up all the support around you. It's like rocket fuel to help
mm-hmm.
you launch your company and
mm-hmm.
let them be your evangelists. And by the way, that doesn't just have to be for somebody who's starting a company.
Mm-hmm.
If you change jobs, it's not a bad idea to get some of your close circle together, explain to them what they're doing, you know, buy them some drinks and get them on your side. You know, that doesn't just need to
yeah.
be limited to somebody who's starting a business.
Right, that's
right?
true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So any closing thoughts? We're kind of getting towards the end of our time here. We're going to try to keep these about 25 minutes. We figure that's about the average commute in Houston.
Yeah.
So, average commute to work. So,
yeah.
But any other closing thoughts here on our first podcast?
You know, I'm just like really excited about, you know, Big Ideas Small Business, and I'm passionate about helping small businesses succeed. And so I'm really excited for, you know, the community we're going to build around around this. And I'm excited just to bring ideas and thoughts and, you know, everything to grow people's businesses so that we can all, you know, be out golfing or whatever we want to do, travel to Tahiti, yeah, go to Hawaii, all that stuff that you want to do in your life. Like, we want to help you get there. So
I couldn't agree more. You know, our this is truly to help people that are engaged with this podcast. We want you, my hope is that we can you know, have that engagement, bring things that people want to hear about. But I also look forward to a day when Laura and I are months and maybe even years down the road with this, and we can look back at this first one and laugh.
Yeah.
So anyway, but Laura, this is great. I'm really looking forward to collaborating you more with this Big Ideas Small Business. And
yeah.
And thank you all if you've joined us. And if not, we're going to be putting this on some different channels for people to listen to after our live broadcast. All right. It was fun. Thank you.
Sounds awesome. Thanks, guys.
Central Texas rain's the strongest drink I've found.
Thanks for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Please visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.